All right, DeMarco. So I am trying to remain optimistic because, like we talked about, we both love college football. But the conference commissioners from the Power Five conferences, they all spoke to one another yesterday. And reportedly, the ACC is having more meetings today about whether or not they need to pull the plug on college football across the board. The MAC, they're out. The Ivy League is out. We've seen individual programs like UConn say, we're out. We know that the Pac-12 had demands. The Big Ten has had demands. But it feels like we're getting to the point where you just can't do this anymore, that you've got to go find a way to either do it in the spring or just reboot it in 2021 in the fall.
Did I just read the Big Ten is going to cancel?
If you did, you're ahead of me. Maybe.
I got a source here, or it's a Yahoo article, I believe. It says Big Ten votes to cancel football season, no games for Michigan, Michigan State in 2020.
Wow.
That's unreal. That would be it for me. I mean, if the Big Ten is not competing, you might as well pull the plug on the whole season. That's a Power Five conference. That's a team that has at least one or two national championship contenders. If they're sitting out, then what's the point in playing? You know, I mean, would you want to compete in a system that doesn't have the best players or the best teams in it?
No, I wouldn't. But here's the thing. I think the Big Ten is the second most important domino in this deal. I think that they're number two behind the SEC. I think if the SEC decides to play, they're going to play. Even if the Pac-12 says, we're out. Even if the Big Ten says, we're out. The SEC will say, fine, we're going to play amongst ourselves. We'll declare ourselves the national champion just because we knew it's going to come out of the Big 12, the SEC anyway. So they'll try to muscle their way through. I think the second you get the SEC on board, everything else falls out because they care about it more. And you could argue they care about it to a degree that's almost unhealthy. And I mean that in the most literal way. It's a metaphor, right? It's a metaphor for, don't you guys have families? Don't you have jobs that you need to go take care of? But this is literally, aren't you worried about the health of these guys playing? Because we've seen outbreaks in these places, but if they go, I don't know if a bunch of other ones don't go as well. If the SEC decides to play, I bet you the ACC decides to play. The Pac-12 and the Big 12, they kind of hold hands in a lot of, or Big 10, I should say. They're kind of linked together through the Rose Bowl and just a longstanding relationship between those two conferences. Yeah. But if the SEC plays, I'll bet you see a whole bunch of other teams decide to play too.
I always thought the Pac-12 and the Big 10, when they play each other, it's like fighting your relative. You know, you love each other, but you're going to fight. But, I mean, the SEC, the ACC, that's kind of the enemy to the West Coast. So, you know, you might be right, but I don't know if that's going to be enough for me just to see SEC, ACC football. That won't be college football. That would be like NFL minor league when you think about it. If you remove the Pac-12 and the Big Ten and just let these other power conferences go at it. I mean, it wouldn't – I guess it'll be enough fun on Saturday, but it won't be the same. But, you know, look, I think if one conference drops out, I think all should drop out because that's saying that we care more about our student-athletes than you do. And like you said, if the Pac-12 and the Big Ten say it's not healthy or it's not safe enough for our players to go out and the SEC does, I mean, I think that would, just like you said, it would be more obvious about what the NCAA or what amateur athletics really is if you have half the Power Five conferences sitting out for the safety of their players and the other half go ahead and playing. It's all about the money then.
Yeah, well, you and I are both men of the world, right? We know how college sports works. We know how professional – and it's about the money. We can go around and around about opportunities for education, and it's partially true. We can go round and around about taking young men and turning them into productive citizens and making sure that they're set up for their lives beyond athletics. It's partially true. These sports, college football in particular, college basketball as well, they're there to make money for these universities. That these teams, the Power Five football conferences, if they don't play a season, on average are going to be out about $78 million per school.
Wow.
Okay? So imagine if UCLA has to make up a $78 billion hole in their budget. Imagine if Washington State has to put together a $78 million hole. You know, it's a big hole for everybody, but it's going to hit far differently for others. So they're going to do it to try to get the money. But I guarantee you, as gross and as ugly as this is, there's people sitting in a room saying, okay, $78 million is over here. That's what we're going to get if we don't play. Or that's what we're not going to get if we don't play. What is the actuarial table telling us if we lose a bunch of lawsuits if these guys get sick? If we lose a bunch of lawsuits to these guys that get sick to the point where they're in the hospital or on ventilators or have any sort of long-lasting health effects, and we didn't do what we could to protect them with safety protocols, or we didn't do everything possible to make sure that these guys were in the best possible, what does that cost? I guarantee you that conversation is taking place in some back room somewhere, for sure.
And definitely on that same line, if I was a parent of a college football athlete, there's no way I'd let him sign a waiver.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
No, I'm not indemnifying you. No.
No, absolutely not. Absolutely. But this is the most shocking thing. I guess it's not shocking that the Pac-12 and Big Ten are thinking of opting out as conferences. I am surprised, really, with all the money they have invested and the history of college football, that it's gone this far without an actual plan. We've known about this for months now. The NFL has known about this, and they're getting ready to kick off. Baseball is back on the field. Basketball is back out there. Soccer has been out there for months already, and they're doing a great job with it. I can't believe college football, with all the money that's involved, has gotten this far, and there's no real concrete plan as to how to get the kids back on the field safely. That is real. That's just shocking to me.
Look, there's a reason there's a job called head coach. There's a reason that there's a job called captain of the ship. That there's a job called admiral in the Navy, right? That there's not just, we'll all kind of figure it out as we go. We'll come to some general consensus at some point. I don't care what the organization is. You need a boss. The reason the NBA is working as well as it is, is because Adam Silver is better at his job than Rob Manfred is at his. Okay, it's just true. Rob Manfred is not very good at this. He handled this about as poorly as you can, and it's a bit of a mess, and they're working their way through it, but they barely got it going to begin with, and then they had an outbreak. Basketball has just kind of cruised along. So while we can be critical of Rob Manfred, and I have been, at least we know who the damn boss is.
Right.
You know what I mean? Who's in charge of college football? There is no answer. In the Pac-12, it's Larry Scott. In the SEC, it's somebody else. In the Big Ten, it's somebody else. There's a head of an NCAA who everybody just says, yeah, dude, just leave us alone. We'll let you know when we make a decision. We'll loop you in and pretend
we'll
that
you're
a part of this. There's no boss. You're not going to come to any sort of manageable plan if you don't have a boss.
Well, then college football reform or college athletics reform, especially when it pertains to college football, I think it's necessary. But who knew this was coming? In a pandemic situation, I don't think there was an actual game plan for this. But even when you knew, when you had a chance to draft one, you're still here at this point in August, getting ready to either push the season back to spring or cancel it altogether. It just defies belief. But, you know, maybe moving it to spring, giving it more time, might be the right thing. Sure, you might lose some top flight guys, your Trevor Lawrences or your guys that are, you know, are expected to go within the top 10 of the NFL. Maybe you might have some of those guys sit out, but that might be the safest and smartest thing to do, is just move it back. Don't cancel it. Just move it back for a few more months until you can come up with an actual plan.
But DeMarco, think about it. I remember I was in Phoenix, Arizona with my youngest son getting ready for a baseball tournament on March 13th. And we were driving to get something to eat that night, listen to the radio, and the announcement came that the NBA had canceled their season. And then the next morning, Major League Baseball had canceled spring training with no date set for when it might return. That's in the middle of March. It's August 10th.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, it's not like this stuff popped off yesterday. They've had 5 months to put this together, and they haven't gotten anywhere.
Give them another 2 months then. I mean, maybe now this might light a fire under someone. Maybe like in the NFL, the NFL ownership. Roger Goodell is the commissioner, but you know Jerry Jones is somewhere near the top. You know, when you're talking about what the league is going to do and the rules and all that sort of stuff, he has a very big voice in the room. Maybe if you give them a few more months, maybe there'll be a guy that steps forward. maybe just a name only, or just to captain the ship and come up with a better idea how to get college football back on the field and do it safely.
Hopefully, because we would love to have it, but the safety part, especially if you're not paying these guys, asking them to do it because, hey, we love football, it's a big ask. NFL, different animal. These guys are being compensated. The college guys are not. And until that changes, I'm not dying to go back if I'm one of those players. I just don't want to do it.
Period.
Alan Sliwa is going to join us next. We'll get you ready for tonight's Laker game against Denver. How worried is he about what he's seen inside of the bubble? That's straight ahead on the morning show on 710 ESPN. So I was at a 5.5 before our conversation with Sliwa about the Lakers on a panic scale of 1 to 10 about how I'm feeling. I'll maybe downgrade it to 5, DeMarco, having listened to Alan say what he said. I'm not a big believer in flip switching, and I am really a big believer in if you stop doing something for any period of time and then you try to restart it, you almost never pick up where you left off. Almost never. You're either better or worse, and the Lakers don't look better.
I agree. Every time you try to start and stop, or you're cold and you wind up pulling something or you hurt yourself. But I think this is a little bit different because of the thing we keep mentioning, that LeBron James is a guy that doesn't look like he's backed off any. So he's the catalyst. He's the thing that makes it go. So as long as he's filling it up, I feel comfortable with that. But I agree with you, man. I mean, I think the rest of the guys, the rest of the team needs to pick it up, Anthony Davis in particular. But they do know. And I think the salient point that he made to me, talking about Alan Sliwa, how many guys did he mention that actually had rings that are on
seven.
The team?
What? Seven. They've either have a ring or played in the finals.
They've been here before. They understand where they are right now, and they understand what's coming. So I think this might be, I don't want to say planned, but it's something that's not unexpected to the team. It's shocking for us as fans. We watch. We always want to see the Lakers dominate, even when they shouldn't. But I just feel comfortable watching LeBron fill it up and knowing that when it comes time, the rest of the team is going to be right there with him.
Boy, I'll tell you what, man. If this is part of the plan, this is a really dangerous bleeping plan, man. You know what I mean? If part of the plan is, We'll go when it's time to go. Okay. All right. I mean, it's happened before and it's worked out before, but I don't know, man. Maybe it's just me and my athletic experience and having covered this kind of stuff for a long time. If you're waiting for something to just kind of pop into place, you're going to be disappointed as often as you are pleased. That's almost true. A 50-50 proposition that it just doesn't, you know, like let's talk about the Rams for last year.
Yeah.
There were 4 or 5 different points where you're like, all right, it's going to happen. The Rams score 30 points a game. The Rams are going to score their 30 points, and they get 17, and they get 21, and they get 40. It's like, okay, it never really happened. They'd have some games where they'd explode, but that explosivity never really came back, and it's because it was a different season. They were being defended differently. And for all intents and purposes, this is a new season. I know that it's a continuation, but only in name only. Everything else, it's a brand new season.
You know, and sometimes with coaches, look, if you're not getting it right in practice, and they'll use games as rehearsal and practice, we're going to run the same damn thing over and over and over again until we get it right. Or in basketball, X, Y, and Z need more work than, you know, Z, B, and F. So let's sit them. We'll use them, and wins and losses be damned. We are the number one seed. We're playing with house money. We do have some opportunities to get some guys some reps and do things that we're not used to doing or we're not going to do in the postseason just to get guys some work. So I think there's a lot of that in play, especially when you talk about the Clippers and how Doc Rivers is running the show when he's sitting some key guys down in some situations where you have a chance to win a game. So I think there's a lot of gamesmanship going on in this new style of NBA, and I think the Lakers are – you know, right in line with everyone else. I think that's actually what you're seeing, but who knows? We'll see. We'll see what happens the next time out.
Tonight would be a good time to turn that around. Plus, you get to watch the Dodgers and the Padres tonight. We talked a little bit about this off the air. We'll spend some time talking about this tomorrow as well. But, man, watching Mookie Betts night in and night out, DeMarco, what an unbelievable baseball player. Like, I worked for the Angels for a couple of years when Mike Trout first came up, and I got to watch him every night for about 3 years. And I still watch the Angels because I didn't have the Dodgers until this season. But we all know Trout and Betts are great players, but if you watch them every night, you get a totally different appreciation for what they do. And Mookie's a freak.
He's must-see baseball. Pujols, McGuire, Bonds, and Mookie Betts. When he's up to bat or coming up to bat, I will stop whatever I'm doing to watch him.
All right, get it figured out tonight, Lakers. Let's have a little celebration after you tune up the Denver Nuggets tonight. DeMarco and I will see you bright and early, 6 a.m. tomorrow morning on the morning show on 710 ESPN.